to be home Thanksgiving weekend against the Tennessee Titans. That is looking increasingly dangerous by the week. I mean, goodness grief. But as I was saying, the Patriots are entering a stretch of the season in which that they are going to be facing some really good opponents in the stretch. The Chargers are one of them. And then also, not to overlook Cleveland, but the Chargers and the Browns are two teams that I do concern about. I am concerned about, especially if this Patriots team is going to make any sort of strides forward in terms of their playoff chances. They're on the bubble right now. They are on the bubble right now. But these next several games are going to help determine, by and large part, whether this 2021 New England Patriots team is a playoff team or not. It's going to be very interesting. We are now hitting the second hour of the program. It's now 6:01 here in Medford, Greater Boston, Metro Boston. Let's pause for a few moments for station identification. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Hey, this is Scruffy Wallace, the Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
This is Steven Pinker, and you are tuned in to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, pure pleasure technology, Tufts freeform and educational radio.
Leave your cares behind. Come with us and find the pleasures of the journey to the center of the mind.
Canned vegetables. Hey, Duncan, get over here. Need you to stay with me and your brother, okay?
WMFO.
Well, closer. Come on. Help me out here, buddy.
Hey, Lou, what's going on? Where are you calling from?
Excuse me. Duncan, you're blocking me out.
What's going on, bud?
Need some bologna.
Not today.
But I want.
Absolutely. Sorry. Give me 1 second. Coming back in just a few moments, okay?
Duncan.
No problem. Hold on.
Too bad.
Mommy would let me.
Yeah, well, she's not here, okay? She's gone, and she's not coming back, and you're just gonna have to deal with it like the rest of us, okay? Duncan.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Hope you are enjoying yourself on this Monday evening. It was Monday afternoon, but now it's Monday night, clearly, as it has now turned into early evening, which is hard to believe. At 6 o'clock, it's dark outside, but what do I know? So we're going to start the 6 o'clock hour talking Celtics here with you, here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, as it is my privilege and honor to do so with you every Monday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And I'll be the first to tell you, listen, as I had to adjust my headset level, for God's sakes, as I had no idea that my headphones will be this loud, so I nearly blew up my eardrums. Bad idea. So phone number to call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. And the Celtics, they're coming off a big win last night against the Houston Rockets down in Houston. Listen, if you're a Celtics fan early in the season, I was going into last night's game thinking to myself, they have got to find a way to really right the ship, because I have not liked their effort, by and large part, in the first couple of games, but especially in the game against the Toronto Raptors, their home opener on Friday night, I thought that was an absolute complete dud. I mean, holy smokes. You talk about absolutely showing no type of fight with everybody in the building, full house Friday night, and the Celtics absolutely was a no-show. Call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We have Lou and Everett on the line. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO. You're on the Shuker Wright Show. What's going on, bud?
Hey, Shu. I was at that game the other night, and, I watched last night's game, too. This team so far, I haven't seen any changes from last season to this season. They're shooting way too many threes. They're still playing ISO ball. Last night, there was some improvements with rebounding. They didn't let up 20 offensive rebounds, but turnovers, was bad. Toronto, they turned the ball over. I think they said they gave up 25 points off of, 20 turnovers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they, I don't know if you heard last night, they set the record for most three-point attempts in three games than any other team ever. Oops, sorry about that. So I don't know what they're doing for offense, and you don't see the starting five that they started against Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
It started with, you never saw that lineup again, and it was effective at the beginning with Horford and Tatum and Brown and Robert Williams starting, and then they never played that lineup again.
I don't know why.
Trying to play 11 men.
I don't know why, Lou. To me, one of the biggest problems that I've had with the Celtics early this season on is that, by and large part, you really haven't seen the same consistent lineup that you're starting out games with, and especially in that game on Friday night against Toronto, it was they started out with the lineup that you mentioned with Robert Williams and as well as Tatum, Horford, Brown, but you didn't really see that for the remainder of the game. And one thing that did stand out to me last night was that it just seemed as if that the Celtics were able to finally lock down defensively, because the first couple of games, let's be honest, it was ugly, especially the season opening game against the Knicks, in which that the only reason why that the Celtics were even in that game was because of the offensive performance of Jaylen Brown.
I agree. Jaylen carried that team that game, and then they really looked gassed. Really looked gassed in the second overtime. They were just listless, and both teams weren't exactly doing well. But Tatum was ice cold. He couldn't have shot any worse. And then they kept putting the ball in his hands, and he wasn't passing it. He was taking a shot, and he missed, I think, all five shots in the second.
Yeah,
overtime.
Five of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I get it. Tatum is the star of the team. So is Brown. But I don't get the lineups. I don't get why we're still, last night's game, they 47 attempts at three last night, which I have never seen that in the game. They hit 15, that's fine. But 47 attempts? They shot
Holy
more threes
smokes.
Than they did twos.
Yeah.
You know, they shot 86 shots in the game, and 47 of them were threes.
which is, yeah.
Now, that's a lopsided stat.
It really is, you know? And one of the things that it really stood out to me about last night's game was that it just seemed as if that Rob Williams decided to step up in his role, and I really like what he was able to do in the game, especially really doing a good job of defensively, especially also got to give credit to Grant Williams as well. Bobby Porter was not much of a factor in the game last night. So the question I'll ask you is, through three games, and I know it's asking an awful lot, it's only three games, you got 79 games remaining in the season, but if there's one aspect of the Celtics team that I am most worried about, it is particularly Marcus Smart. Because for me, I was very critical of Brad Stevens when he gave Marcus Smart the contract extension during the offseason, saying, you're paying X amount of money to a guy that is very Jekyll and Hyde offensively. You don't know what you're going to get. You know that you're gonna get the effort on the defensive end of the court. But offensively, this is a guy that one night he could shoot you five threes, but he could also shoot you out of a game as well.
That Toronto game, he didn't even score, which was surprising. He had some defensive plays, but, everything went wrong in that game. But, Yeah, I Marcus Smart, there's a question. What's wrong with Marcus? I mean, the first game, he didn't do much. Then a 0 points. I think he only had like 8 points last night.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say, what's going on there? Also, the other thing, too, and I think what made them win last night is they actually had assists last night. They, you know, last year they were one of the worst teams with assists in the league.
Yeah.
Mostly because they shoot all threes. But last night they actually out-assisted the Rockets. But the other games, oh, my God, it was, I mean, they were out-rebounded by plus 20 against Toronto. Toronto, plus 20. I mean, and they were minus like 7 in assists. And they were, I mean, it was just bad. Just
oh,
bad.
Yeah.
But it looked like last year's team. Like, nothing changed. And I don't know if that's coaching. I don't know. I mean, it's way too early to say, to, you know, take a dump all over the coach because he's only 3 games in.
Exactly. But my thing, and the way that I look at it is that when I look at the Celtics team right now, I look at this team and say, personnel-wise, not much has changed. Okay, you brought back Al Horford. Woo, great. And then you also brought in Dennis Schroeder as well. But those weren't moves that made me feel excited as a Celtics fan. If anything, my thought process was, okay, you brought back Al Horford, but the mentality of this team, and it's only 3 games, but it just seemed like it hasn't changed a whole lot. Because what I'm seeing is that this is a team that's still playing a lot of iso ball. Jason Tatum, he wants to be the guy that leads and carries the offensive load along with Jaylen Brown. But when you look around, the other aspects of the team, like Al Horford, like what can he do? Like he can help you with the offensive like rebounds and also defensive rebounds as well. And when you know what Smart's going to give you, that's if you know. So the one question of that I will pose to you is this. If you're the Celtics, there's two aspects of this team that's seemingly not clicking right now. They're not getting out of last year's mentality of pass, shoot, and as well as there are times that it seems like they are getting out offensive rebounded by their opponents, and it's frustrating to watch.
Well, I think both of those things are connected. The pass, shoot. I'm going to say there's much less passing and a whole bunch more shooting.
Right.
And that's what they're doing now. You got one or two people. Anybody takes that ball up. You don't have an established point guard. You're missing a point guard. I know that Smart and Schroeder are supposed to be your point guards, but they ain't playing point guard.
No, not at all.
That's your first problem. The second problem is the way they are running up and just taking popping shots. So that doesn't set any defense to get set up, and it's painful. You know, there was a couple flashes of brilliance here in the last couple games. One with Toronto, Schroeder lobbing to Robert Williams on a give and go. There was a couple of those in each game, but I don't know why they don't try to repeat it. they have these offensive weapons. You have some major talent on this team, but then it's like they get lazy. Let's just shoot threes. I mean, last night they were up by 20-something points last night in that fourth quarter, and then they just started jacking threes, and all of a sudden it was a 10-point game. You know, and it should have never even been that close, and that means you had to put Tatum back in. You had to put your starters back in on a night where they have to play again tonight, a back-to-back.
Yeah, they're in Charlotte tonight to take on the Hornets.
Who have not lost a game yet, which is, you know, going to be interesting because Charlotte's playing pretty good ball.
Yeah. Led by their NBA offensive rookie of the year, LaMelo Ball. And the thing that I look at with this team, and it really makes me mad, that this is a team in which that they seem like they're allergic to attacking the rim. They love to settle for jump shots, and this was my criticism with the Celtics last season, in which that, hey, let's just play a half court offense. Oh no! Let's settle at the 3-point line. Oh man, it didn't go through. So let's just give the ball back to the other team. And this season, it seems like it's more of the same. And again, I know we're overreacting to the 3 games in. Oops, I'm sorry. This is Boston after all. But if you're talking about expectations for this team moving forward, because when I look at the schedule, this is what they have coming up. They got after tonight. They got the Hornets. They got the Wizards on Wednesday. That's a game I will in fact be at. And I should also mention that it's the beginning of a home and home. They got Washington on Wednesday. They're in Washington on Sunday. No, sorry, Saturday rather. Excuse me. And then after that, they got the Bulls next Monday at home, a much improved Bulls team, and then and then at Orlando next Wednesday. So they got themselves a little bit of a challenge, like, to start the season. Like, because let's face it, as much as we like to think that the Celtics will be a playoff team this year, but I don't have to be any higher than maybe seventh or eighth in the East. Like, what are your thoughts on this team so far?
So their schedule gets even worse further on in November. I know for a fact, because being a season ticket holder, they got the Bucks, they got the Lakers.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Yeah,
the Nets.
You're right.
They got, you know, they're not, they, you got no slouching up here. The 76ers. You got a whole bunch of games coming up that this team could just look really bad at. So if they don't make any adjustment, and like we just said, it's this ISO ball stuff. They can, this team is very talented, and they have a whole bunch of shooters.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even take mid-range shots anymore. You know, and I know it's part of the game and everything like that, but you got guys who can. You know, everybody thinks they're Golden State was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But this team can make a mid-range shot. I think they've proved it.
Mm-hmm.
But they shy away. I don't understand that part. But that being said, with your initial question, I think they might lose, theoretically, more than 60% of their games this month, or I should say in November.
Yeah.
If they play the way they've been playing, if not more. I mean, this they winning last night was... Was it really that they were really good, or was the Rockets really not that good?
I think it was the Rockets that are not that good. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. The Rockets aren't really that good.
Yeah, and to go back to what you were alluding to, in terms of the schedule for November, they got the Bucks on Friday the 12th, November 12th. They got the Hawks on, that's a home game. They got the Atlanta Hawks Wednesday, November 17th. And then they're home against the Lakers on November 19th, and they also have a home game against the Oklahoma City Thunder on November 20th. And then, of course, they got the Brooklyn Nets at home. Kyrie, we'll see if he comes back or not, on November 24th against the Brooklyn Nets. So you're right. This schedule does get really gritty and meaty in November. So they need to start. They really going to have to really win these next three games in order to not put themselves in an early hole to start the season.
Yep, and it doesn't get much better, for be honest with you. The December's just as bad. The Celtics' front half of their schedule is probably the hardest front half of any schedule I've seen. I've been a season ticket holder for a number of years. Their front half, the December, they got the Warriors, the 76ers twice. The Bucks again, the Nets again.
Yeah, and the Knicks on the 18th.
Yep, the Knicks. You got the Suns on New Year's Eve, the Clippers. It doesn't get any easier, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that they're going to have trial by fire. It's right off the bat. They have to get out and run. And this is the other thing. This team is a running team. They're fast. Schroeder's fast. These guys are fast. Mm-hmm. They should be going to the basket. Why are we getting beat on fast break points?
Especially Peyton Pritchard. This is starting to piss me off.
Yeah. I know Pritchard is a shooter, but the kid is fast and he can drive to the basket. They don't play him. I don't know. They didn't play against the Toronto. They didn't play Naismith. Give the kid some chance.
Which is shocking, because you would think that, like, especially with like a guy like Aaron Naismith, and with his skill set, that he'd be playing against a guy like Bam Adebayo, for example. It's just, it's frustrating, to say the least. I mean, some of the personal decision that he's made.
They got the talent. Richardson came out and had a big night. They got the talent, but I don't know what they're waiting for. It's like lazy offense. Let's just go up, shoot a three, and if we get a rebound, if we shoot a three, more than likely, three of those guys aren't even past midcourt yet.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's nobody rebounding. You might as well just give that up. You know what I mean? And that's what it was last night. They literally did that in the fourth quarter. They took, I think at one point, they took six consecutive back-to-back threes and missed all of them. And that just put, you know, all those points, they gave them right back. Up by like 22 and gave it all back. You can't do that. You're not going to get very far. And And the worst part is there's going to be teams that are going to be faster and younger and out for more blood. And, you know, we haven't seen what the NBA has yet to hold. Obviously, the Lakers and Nets are, I don't know what they're doing. But the Celtics, they should be able to get by this curve if they don't act lazy. You know, it's lazy offense. Lose a shoe.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I thought I lost you there for a second.
No, you're good. There was another call that I was calling in. I was trying to clear that out as well, but go ahead.
Okay. So I think that, you know, this team has the potential. They just, they got to change it. They got to change the attitude. No more ISO ball, no more doing what they've been doing. I don't know how you change that.
These guys
are set in their way.
Do you think that Ime Udoka is going to have to work a lot this season to try to change that mindset? Because that's been the mindset for the last couple of seasons, even going back to when Kyrie was here during his final season as a Boston Celtic during the 2018-19 season.
I think he has to. I don't know what he does to do that. Obviously, we've already seen him bench a player for arguing with the refs. We've seen him suspend Marcus Smart for missing a plane. So that's different culture right there. You know, this is a coach that worked with Pop. You would think that he would have more priority. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is just starting to get established. But if he lets these guys run amok and do what they want and do their own offense the way they've been doing, he got to step in and say, listen, if you're not going to do this, I'm going to just sit you down. It doesn't matter if it's Tatum. It doesn't matter if it's Brown or Smart.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get the offense clicking the way it's designed, not just go up and run up and whoever has a free shot, shoot it.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's a bad shot.
Mm-hmm. You know? It's one of those things where like, I think the culture changed, and that's part of the reason why they brought in Udoka, because they felt like, listen, Brad Stevens, they didn't want to have the guts to say that they actually fired the guy. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I've been preaching this for months at a time. Like, they didn't decide that they're going to smoothly transition Brad Stevens to the front office role, a role that he's never had in his career, or that Danny Ainge was just going to silently bow out into retirement. That's not what this was. This was, we're going to fire you, but we owe you a lot of money, so we're going to keep you in a front office role and hope that you will actually exceed in that role. And, I mean, we'll see how that pays off. Lou, I want to say simply thank you for calling into the program. Much appreciated, my friend.
Thank you. Great talking to you, as always.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And that was my good friend Lou, Lucky Lou. If you've been to the Garden, if you've been going to Celtics games for quite some time, you've seen him around. Quite a fixture at the Garden, at Celtics home games and whatnot. He just joined the program just to call and offer some thoughts on the Boston Celtics so far through the first three games of the regular season. We got another one coming up in a little more than a half hour from now, where the Celtics there are going to be in Charlotte taking on the 3-0 Charlotte Hornets. So we're going to go on a music break. And before I do, I absolutely want to take a moment to acknowledge an interesting moment that took place over the weekend. Tom Brady threw his 600th career passing touchdown in the regular season in yesterday's game against the Chicago Bears. I mean, that was really, I mean, it's just amazing. I'm just trying to find the right words to really describe just how monumental this is. I mean, for a guy that has had the success that he's had over the last 20-plus seasons, is truly amazing. 600 regular season passing touchdowns. We obviously know all about the Super Bowls and the playoff records and all that fun stuff, but just want to take a moment to quickly acknowledge that feat. And we're going to go on a music break now. And when we return, there was a moment that absolutely bugged the living heck out of me from that same game between the Bears and the Buccaneers. I want to tell you exactly what that was and why we need to have a conversation about that. Coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Reform Radio.
Party every day, and I'm feeling How do you dispose of cigarettes?
Well, this part of plants.
Really? Fertilizer and dried plant roots can catch fire.
Trash cans okay?
Please. All that trash can easily catch fire.
So off my porch is a bad idea.
Cigarettes tossed into mulch, leaves, and grass start many fires. Fire can grow up the side of a building before anyone notices.
Fine. Bucket of sand?
That's perfect. Put it out. All the way. Every time. To learn more, go to mass.gov/DFS.
Do you love classic rock but hate the lack of variety on classic rock stations? Then tune in to Classic Rock Mine. Classic Rock Mine delivers classic rock that rocks. From bands you know like Grand Funk Railroad, Mott the Hoople, and Uriah Heep, to bands you don't know like the Flower Traveling Band, Papo's Blues, and Nectar. Classic Rock Mine. It's the best classic rock you've never heard. Saturday nights from 9 to 11 on 91.5 WMFO Medford. Tufts University Radio.
Open up the champagne, pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and welcome to my house. Baby, take control now. And you know that you wanna stay. Close the blinds, let's pretend that the time has changed. Keep our clothes on the floor, open up champagne. Let's continue tonight, come on, celebrate.
That's how we do.
Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in. Welcome to my house, baby, take control now. We can't even slow down, we don't have to go out. Welcome to my house, play that music too now. Show me what you do now, we don't have to go out. Welcome to my house.
You throwing it back. Excuse me if my home draining the sand. Soon as these happy faces land, you can run with the cash. Home run, slam dunk, touchdown pass. Mi casa es tu casa, so it ain't no holding back. Another shot of vodka, you know what's in my glass. It's my house, just relax.
Welcome to my house, baby, take control now. We can't even slow
hit the brakes,
down.
Hit the brakes,
we
slow
don't
down.
Have to go.
Cheers to this.
Welcome to my house.
Welcome back to the Shook Me Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. It's us, Freeform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in, as always, is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Hour number two of the program is already well underway. Already had a caller in this one already, and a caller who called a few minutes ago wondering if he could pass along a text message to a host who hosted the show previously before I did, something about Ivanka, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know, had no idea. So told him to basically just try to shoot him an email or something. I don't know his contact information at all. So, but either way, while we still got the chance, got roughly about 20 minutes or so in the program left, but I want to have an opportunity to talk about this particular story that I saw that absolutely has really rubbed me the wrong way. And it's like basically when people are in certain positions in life or in their career that they feel that certain aspects of dignity and respect goes out the window. Like, are you kidding me? Now, for all of you that know, and when you're in the radio and television business, you talk a lot. For those of you that listen to my program or listen to the show, however way you consume it, know that I talk a lot. This is what I do. This is my career. Cool. But in no way, shape, and form do you ever, and I mean ever, allow yourself to go into areas in which that, listen, this is not appropriate. This is not okay. Like Tony Romo, for example, like, listen, I was never a fan of the guy when he was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. I wasn't a fan of his. As a broadcaster, I thought that he's done some really good on-air work when he first debuted with CBS in 2017. But for some reason this season, I don't know why, maybe it's just me or my personal feelings towards him, but I feel like his work has become less and less enjoyable. And on Sunday, between the Buccaneers and the Chicago Bears, rather, excuse me, Tom Brady, as we talked about a few minutes ago, 600th career passing touchdown. First quarterback in NFL history to reach that number. And it's incredible. Flat out incredible. The way I think about it. And I mean, for whoever you're a fan of, whether you're a Pats fan, Buccaneers fan, or even a Tom Brady fan, listen, let's be honest. 600 is a pretty big deal. But Tony Romo, and I know millions of people who may have caught, like, the broadcast on CBS. Like, Tony Romo was just very cringeworthy. Like flat out cringeworthy in every sense. It was just gross. Very gross. And I want to see if I can try to pull up this clip here, because this did not sit well with me. I want you to listen to this. Before I go on my whole tangent and everything else, and I just think that, well, perhaps this is not the most appropriate, like maybe not the best of ideas. But I'm going to sit here and see if I could try to like pull this thing up. Here's the clip. Looks like this is it here. Yes, it is. And this is what it. No, this is not it. No. Mm-mm. But basically, I'm going to give you exactly what happened. And essentially, like what Tony Romo said was, this is the quote. Here it is. A date with Giselle. A date with Giselle and I'm in. Romo says, pretending to be a fan. Okay, Tom, we'll do it. One time, you got it. Romo continues, now voicing the Bucks official. Like, I mean, basically, in the most simplistic way I could put this, the fan was given the 600 touchdown pass to, he was giving it to the fan, like Mike Evans had caught it, gave it to the fan, ran off, blah, blah, blah. Bucks official wanted to get the ball back from that fan. And Tony Romo was negotiating on TV, acting as if he was the guy that was trying to get the ball back and so forth. And it was just like, are you kidding me? So you decide that using his wife, his lawfully legally wedded wife, as some sort of, hey, if you give me the ball back, you can go on a date with my wife. Like, see, this is beyond sports. Now, when another man who happens to be married uses another man's wife as a joke, especially in this crude manner, no, this isn't being politically correct or cancel culture coming for Tony Romo. This is just levels of disgusting. Like, really? How would you like it if someone said, hey, I caught Tony Romo's 300th career touchdown ball. I got it. Oh, man, I got it as a souvenir. And you hear the broadcaster say, hey, if you get the ball back, you can go on a date with Tony Romo's wife and, you know, go to town on her, if you know what I mean. Like, how disgusting can you be as an individual? Like, you could have thought a million of other things. Heck, I'm going to take the role of Tony Romo right now. I'm going to pretend that I'm the guy who's the commentator on CBS calling the game with Jim Nantz. Oh, my God, I got the ball. Hey, bud, hey. So the ball was accidentally given to you by one of our players, and Tom Brady wants to have that ball as a commemorative gift. Oh, man, really, man? I was really looking forward to keeping this ball. Listen, what would you like? Because Brady's willing to give you a signed autograph, tickets to game. He just wanted to negotiate with you. Okay. I would like to have a signed helmet, a couple of signed jerseys. You know, maybe just some bread, some cash. Okay. We can work on that. You could have even thrown in, maybe, just maybe, some clam chowder, since he used to play in New England. But to use his wife as even a negotiating tactic, like, hey, you can go out to dinner with my wife only one time. Like, how bleeping gross? How gross can you honestly be? If someone ever did that with my wife, frankly, I'm going over to the man's place. I'm going to personally punch him in his face, then put him in a chokehold. Because there are some territories that, as a man, you just don't cross into. That was one of them. Even if you have a relationship with Brady, there are some things that are just flat out absolutely inappropriate. So now, Giselle to you, Tony Romo, is just someone who happens to be like a basket of bread rolls you just pass around at Thanksgiving. Hey, Ma, let me get a serving of that stuffing. She wants some of them rolls with that. Like, really, this is what we're doing now. Okay, Tony, here's what we're going to do. Since your last name alone is already a punchline of jokes, and I'm not going to even go any further than that, how about we use you as some sort of a punchline in terms of a negotiating joke that went afoul on national television? But see, if I did that, I wouldn't be sitting in this chair right now. So I'm not even going to go any further than that. But there are some lines that you just don't cross. Joking about another man's wife, saying that, I want to read you the quote again for those who just joined. The CBS cameras, I'm going to read you an excerpt from the article that was written on Yahoo Sports. I'm going to give credit to Shalice Manza-Young, who wrote the column earlier today. It was published around a little bit after 3:30. The CBS cameras, of course, caught the exchange, and commentator Tony Romo offered this creepy narration on what was being said. A date with Giselle, and I'm in, Romo says, pretending to be a fan. Okay, Tom. Tom will do it. One time, you got it. Romo continues, now voicing the Bucks official. I'm sorry, how dare you? How dare you? Because you thought about it. You absolutely thought about it. And don't sit here and tell me he's booked hundreds of games. He's going to say something stupid. It's not that big of a deal. Actually, it's a pretty big deal. Because in a way, this is how you start the perpetuation of rape culture in this country. Even worldwide. But I'm talking about here in the United States of America in particular. This is how it starts. An innocent joke. Oh, it's no big deal. It's harmless. While you are objectifying women in the process. Lovely, isn't it? I'm sure Mr. Romo would not like for his wife to be objectified, right? Would he? I don't think he would. So what makes it okay to say that his wife would be some sort of a package deal if you give back the 600th touchdown pass ball back to Tom Brady? I mean, there's a lot of things that are cringeworthy, but this is absolutely one of them. It's cringeworthy as hell. Like, oh my. I want to pull up. Oh man. There's a lot of articles that are out there right now that are basically like laying into the guy. And frankly, I don't blame them. Like, one bit. Like, goodness grief. I mean, ugh. There are some things you just do and you should not do. And this is one of them. This is certainly one of them. I mean, it's just grotesque. Got a few minutes left here in the program. And we're going to step aside for just a few moments. Coming up next, final thoughts here in the program. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Welcome back to the Shook Rewrite Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free From Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Got a few minutes left in this program as coming up just shortly after this program concludes, it is Black Stripes or White Keys. That's going to be following after this program with Trisha and Kayla. That's from 7 to 8 right here on 91.5 FM WMFO. A number call in if you want to offer your final thoughts or anything like that, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Final thoughts brought to you by yours truly, Shukri Writes, here, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Now, with the Red Sox season officially done and the World Series starting tomorrow, and I didn't even get the chance to get to this particular topic, but I'm going to use this time to talk about it anyway. The Atlanta Braves, the team that I am rooting for to win the World Series against the Houston Astros, they are in the World Series for the first time since 1999. It's awfully hard to believe that it's been that long, but yes, it has been that long. And the last time they got to the World Series, they lost in four games, got swept by the New York Yankees, who were in the midst of their dynasty at the time. You know, it's funny because me and my brother earlier, we were talking about this. And one of the things that we talked about was the fact that the world has practically eaten itself inside out. We don't mean that literally, obviously. Since 1999, meaning that the world is completely, utterly different. It's not the same at all. I mean, everything that for those of us who are old enough to fully remember what life was like in 1999, myself included, because I was in third grade. Remember that it really was a very simple time in our life. Really, very simple times in the world, especially here in the United States in particular. Very innocent time at that. And I remember back then when the Braves last made it to the World Series, very different time. So one thing that we talked about, and I wanted to use this time to talk about briefly, is how much has life changed since the Braves last played in the World Series. Last World Series game that they played was October 27th, 1999. That was game four. Guess what happened? And guess what was going on back then? Because I know there's quite a few people who are listening to this program or will listen to this program later that are like, what on earth happened in 1999? Well, let me tell you. Number one, the mayor of Boston was Mayor Menino, the late Mayor Thomas Menino. That's number one. Number two, the president of the United States of America was Bill Clinton. He was near the end of his second term as president. That's number two. Number three, you remember Backstreet Boys, NSYNC? Oh, yeah, those were the bands, the pop bands that sent teenage girls of 1999 absolutely crazy. And let's be honest, if you were born, let's say, roughly 1993, 1994, and before, you know what I'm talking about. Just nod your head and agree. You know exactly what I'm talking about. NSYNC and Backstreet Boys had your heads bopping up and down, going crazy on a Friday night with your friends if you had your little sleepovers, and you were popping in video cassettes, VHS. Yes. Oh, by the way, 1999, when the Braves last played in the World Series, VHS was still a thing, and DVDs were still a couple of years away. You want to talk about feeling old? I feel old. Man. Oh, another thing, by the way. For you millennials, and I mean the ones that are what, 22 and younger, we had a thing called dial-up in 1999. There was no high-speed internet. There was no DSL. That wasn't a thing yet. If you use the internet, if you're at home and your parents had to use the phone, you were told to get off the phone. That's what happened. Yes, that happened in my childhood. I can remember the countless times that my mom and my dad would yell at me, get off the phone. Because they had to use the phone, and I was on the internet. And the internet would disrupt that. But technology evolved. And so many things have evolved since the last time the Atlanta Braves were in the World Series. And it's just amazing to think how much the world has changed. And then, oh, by the way, lastly, the original Twin Towers of the World Trade Center were still standing the last time the Braves played in the Fall Classic. October 7th, 1999 was the last World Series game that the organization had played in. Game one of the World Series tomorrow night, Astros, Braves in Houston, game one, 8:09 Eastern, Fox. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. It's been a blast here the last couple of hours talking sports. Had a call on the program earlier today. Pleasant surprise. Always appreciated. As always, pumped for the next show here on these airwaves. Follow me on social media at Shukri Writes, at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. Follow me on Instagram at SWritesRadio_. That's the way to follow me on social media. This is Shukri Writes. It's been my pleasure. I'll be back here with you again next week. And hopefully sometime before then, filling in or whatnot. But either way, you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Form Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
You are listening to WMFO in Medford.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday. Because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew, Francis, play with magic.